Crossing now to Australia to talk to our Australian correspondent, Jason Morrison. Evening, Jason.
Hey, Karen. G'day. How are you?
How's the day been?
Well, it's a public holiday in Australia today, so it's been a ripper. It's absolutely fantastic weather in eastern Australia. In fact, I say that, though, there is a thunderstorm that's swirling and burling right now, and you'll probably start hearing it in a minute because there's been lightning and everything, but it has been an absolutely spectacular day for Australia Day, the most controversial holiday in the calendar. And it's that controversial. There is a portion, I say a very, very small portion of people who go to work as a protest because they don't agree with the holiday. And then there's a group of people who are offended by the holiday because they see it as being the start of the doom of their race of people. Some parts of the Australian Aboriginal culture see this as being a reprehensible and appalling thing to mark and celebrate. And it's our anniversary. It's our 235th anniversary of essentially colonisation, when the British landed here and said, this is ours, taken over, and on life went. And what we have now is Australia, which, for all that is said, is a remarkable country that has been able to sustain in a pretty inhospitable land in a very short period of time to grow into be one of the true powers of the world. So there's a lot to celebrate, and at the same time, there's a lot to commiserate. And there's a lot of people out there that don't want to do either and just want to whinge. So you've kind of got a very funny public holiday, very unlike this country.
And the Aboriginal people in Australia, they've been there for 65,000 years, though. So you think the First Nations elders have a right to protest today?
Yeah, I've got a right to protest. That's right, absolutely. But, I can tell you there's absolutely no cohesive agreement on whether this is a bad... I mean, not all groups think it's bad. Some do, some don't. Some don't care, some do care. Some are passionate and angry about it, and some would prefer, que sera, sera. It's a very, there's no way of really being able to say, today a third of the country are opposed this thing. Opinion polls tell you that it can be sometimes that, but it always, like most things, is how the question's asked. And then, how many people genuinely think this shouldn't be a holiday, we shouldn't be celebrating the nation, versus how many people think that just the date that's chosen is the wrong date. There's a big move on in this country to keep Australia Day, but just not have it on this day, which, the raising of the flag by Arthur Phillip in Sydney, what is now Sydney, 235 years ago, some Aboriginal people see this as sort of the start of their doom. And I can see how that, get under your nerves, and when you see that the country is kind of having one big great party for a reason that many people really don't get. I mean, Australia's kind of got two starts to its history, a bit like New Zealand in many respects. Three starts if you count Indigenous history, but you've got when we were discovered by the British, and then when the British decided to do something with us. Well, we were a penal colony, so that's where we start. That's where we start. The birth of modern Australia, if you want. Even though it was discovered in Cook, and that's another date entirely. And then, of course, you've got the unspoken reality that the Dutch believe they were here first, and then the Aborigines know they were here first. And then, but what do you do then? I'm right now standing on the Hawkesbury River, which is north of Sydney, and on one side of the Hawkesbury River, according to tradition, is one Aboriginal clan. On the other side is another Aboriginal clan. And from all I have been able to read over the years, there's nothing in common between either. And so you've got this sort of weird thing where both sides, could and would have different views on what the outcome would be and what do you do? And
Change the date.
This is a date. Yeah, you change the date, and then what do? Pick a date randomly. I mean, it's a very weird thing because I'm a 50-year-old man, and I'm old enough to remember 1988. We celebrated 200 years, and it was the biggest, grandest, greatest day that I can remember of Australian nationalism. And there was a very small protest.
Modern day Australian nationalism.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but. What do you? Who do you think should be eliminated in the equation to celebrate nationalism. I mean, I always find it amusing that people say, oh, we should only mark a particular day because it offends other people. You pick any day, it'll piss someone off. And that is the very nature of it. And this date really pisses off a lot of people.
So what's the solution?
Very, very hard date. Solutions change the date, but what to?
Yeah, but what is the solution from a government perspective? Is there going to be a referendum on it?
Not on the date. What a waste of money that'd be. But you know, we can have a referendum on whether we pass our parliamentary decision making past a kind of like a tribe of elders for every decision that's made. That's a referendum that'll probably happen later this year. I don't know. I have no real sense, no honest sense on how that will go, whether it will be carried or not, because I can see as many reasons for it as I can against it at a personal level, and I hear as many arguments for it as against it at a public level. So it's a very mixed kind of thing. And I always find, I know Terry's find this somewhat amusing, because you guys figure this out and figure it out pretty well, and it seems to work all right. Although, you know, I've got a friend who's a Kiwi who laughs at my understanding of it, but it seems to work all right because he thinks it doesn't. And I'm sure you could probably go anywhere in the country and find mixed views about how things are going. So I just think it's, you know, it used to be a date of unity, much like Anzac Day is in Australia. It's a date of unity. It's become not that now. It's a date of deep division. And, you know, I can tell you, and if you watch the news programs tonight around Australia, depending on which channel you're watching, it'll either be a lead on how Australians celebrated their day or how Australians protested against this choice of a day. And then I say, okay, what day do you pick? I mean, we were federated as a commonwealth, you know, of states in 1901 on the 1st of January. Don't pick that date. We've already got a public holiday, so you can't have that one. And then what do you change it to a little later in January? You could. But then I don't care that much about it that I'm deeply passionate about it. I do care about changing it just to make some people feel better, because I'm sure as hell you'll find someone that'll be upset if you change it.
Yeah, it's a debate that you have to have, though. That referendum is due later this year, and what it is, it's going to the referendum is to pose the question about creating an Indigenous body known as The Voice, who would address Parliament on Indigenous issues, and the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, has committed to that referendum?
Yeah, it'll be set up as essentially a tribunal to judge each piece of legislation for the impact on Aboriginal people, which I think already goes on. But, you know, I mean, if there's a group of people that Australian politics cares a hell of a lot about, and that is upsetting Aboriginal people, they really do. And you know, in our parliament, we have, you know, good, not great, but good representation of people who are Aboriginal or say they have Aboriginal heritage. So, you know, it's sort of like, in a weird way, we've kind of already got it. It's developed itself. And I would sort of like to see, you know, our Westminster-style system further advanced by getting more Aboriginal people into Parliament. That's the solution. But the parties, the very parties themselves, are the same parties that are up there being high and mighty and morally high-grounded about all of this, are the ones that are stopping Aboriginal people being pre-selected in the first place to run in these seats. There are no shortage of people who have Aboriginal heritage in Australia, who have got political views and activism and are active in politics.
Well, there must be some issue, though, Jason, otherwise there wouldn't be this referendum to...
I think the problem with this referendum is that they still haven't told us what we're actually voting for.
You don't know what the question is yet?
Don't know what the question is, and you don't really know what the... I'm calling it a tribunal, and that's because we don't know what it is. I'm calling it a tribunal because from what I can figure out, that's as close as it actually is to what they're proposing, essentially something that is a body that makes an assessment and then recommends changes to law so it better suited to have a greater beneficial impact on Aboriginal people, which they should. I mean, they should. You know, we've got problems in this country, a lot of problems. And I speak as someone who has heritage. I mean, I have distant, but I do have heritage in our family that you know is a consideration to me. But it's not something I sit and think about all the time. It's not you know. I mean, I'm thinking sort of broadly about the country here. We're in tough times. We've got to make sure we get through them. And I've got this real funny feeling that whatever we end up voting for will not solve the problems in Australia. are, you know, we've essentially got a subclass of people that shouldn't be a subclass. They should be, you know, celebrated as a great race that has survived despite all the attempts of the settlers to, you know, in some places eliminate them.
Wipe them out.
Aboriginal people have survived. And you know, we should be doing great things to make sure that they prosper and that they have just as great opportunity in this country as every other Australian. And they just simply don't. And it's,
well, don't you think that this is what this referendum is about? Because it'll be in Australia's constitution. It's a mechanism which I assume would be similar to what we have here, the Waitangi Tribunal, which is a mechanism for Indigenous people to advise Parliament on policies that affect them.
So I think works.
That's what you'll be voting on.
Well, you would think that, wouldn't you? And you should think that. But I can tell you there is absolutely nothing. You point me to a document that points out that what we're going to be voting for in altering our constitution, the document that sits between us and the powerful in this country, the document of the people, you show me where it spells out exactly what you've said. Because what you've said is a perfect thing. I have no objection to that. I think that's a good idea.
But I don't know what the referendum says. You know what how it's actually worded. Has that been disclosed yet?
No.
Okay. Well, we can talk further about that as we go further through the year. We've come through.
It's a real weird thing because I mean I reckon most people in this country want to see advancement and saving of Aboriginal culture. I mean, I have enormous pride when I see it. As I, you know, as we get emotionally stirred when we see, you know, moments of your Indigenous culture in your country, and how it's protected and how it's celebrated, and we do it here too. We do it quite well, not as well as, you know, historically as we should have, but we're doing it well now. And I really want to see it looked after, and I want to see the
when you say you're doing it well,
the inequality that exists right across this country with Aboriginal people to be affixed and addressed.
But when you say you're doing it well, Jason, when you say you're doing it well, what does that constitute? What do you mean by that? Because there wouldn't be any
paying tribute to it. But we're not doing
that's paying lip service to it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what. But that's unfortunately what I think this vote is going to end up doing. It's going to say we've voted to have this thing. Now we're going to tell you what it is. I mean, if you want to change a constitution, you've got to tell the people in the country what it is before they go and vote.
Well, I'd like to know what is in that referendum because I'm sure it's actually been worded already and, you know, that it's there.
Well, show me the question.
I don't know the question. You show me. You tell me the question.
I mean, you seem quite confident that it's all been worked out. I can tell you if it was, a lot of Australians are in the dark about it, and that's sad because it actually really matters and it's really important. And it could be a great moment in our country's
just
history.
Just a quick Google, I can see here. The proposed referendum question asks Australians if they agree with the voice and principle. Do you support an alteration to the constitution that establishes an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice?
And what does that mean? I mean, this is the thing. Like, you've got a really good system there. If they were to make the comparison and say it's going to be just like the New Zealand system, I think people would look at that and say, good, I understand what that's about. But we're getting drips and drops about what it's about. We're going to be asked to vote for it in the next 12 months. It's just not it's not how you do things. You know, you're changing constitutions. There are irreparable changes to a country. You change the constitution. It's there for good.
Like you work in the news. You can write an article tomorrow about it.
Yeah, well, what are you saying?
Well, you can look at that question and then, you know, investigate it further. What does that mean? Just what we've been discussing.
How will the tribunal work? Who will be on it? What will it be? What will its powers be?
Well, you can just start by looking at the Waitangi Tribunal and you'd probably see a template for it.
But if that's what they want, let's tell people that. This is what we're going to give you, like New Zealand's. But it's a weird thing. We have both sides of politics and they don't want to say that.
Don't want to say what it's actually the referendum actually represents. Oh, he's hung up on me. We'll have to get him back. Well, I think we've got Jason Morrison back on the line, our Australian correspondent. You there, Jason?
Yeah, I'm in this weird situation where if I take 10 steps to the right, I disappear. If I take 10 steps to the left, I disappear. So I found the hotspot. My legs are firmly bedded in this spot.
I think we found your hotspot. Hey, yeah, okay. So the New Year's honours. Anyone we know?
A couple of sports people, a few military people in there. I must say, it's a two waves of honours each year in Australia. Queen's birthday, which is not like the Queen's birthday because it's going to be the King's birthday and it's still not even his birthday. We have that weekend and there are honours there, which are honours, same kind of honour called Order of Australia. Look, a batch of sports people, a lot of media people, which always I don't like. I don't think people in the media should get awards. You know, they get paid, not that special, so they shouldn't get awards. But there's a few media people in there. And actors, a couple of film directors, things like that. A few famous actors in Australia. Again, similar view to the media. I kind of think they should be for service, you know, service in this country. And if you're a surf lifesaver and you've given 20 years and you sit on the beach every Saturday, you deserve an honour. If you're, you know, a mum or a dad that's decided to keep running a rugby league team 20 years after your son or daughter's left the team and you want to keep it going so young kids get opportunity, I think that's a great thing. There's a lot of those, which is great. But, whenever we have it, we always get the same kind of eye-rolling, national eye-rolling that celebrities are the focus, when in fact the great irony is this is a day when the unsung heroes should be celebrated. And that's probably one of the good things they do. I mean, I was looking last night it's a family, and it's three members of the family, so I'm guessing it's, you know, probably, you know, mother, father, and one of the kids. And they have kept, a service club going in one of our toughest towns in Australia, well beyond their years of commitment to it. And through doing that, they've been able to provide for underprivileged kids in this area. And I think those stories are fantastic. Those people get to carry for the rest of their lives, you know, three magical letters, Order of Australia after their name. And it's a really great thing to do. Whereas, I could tell you, if you were to go and find a high-priced lawyer in Sydney, there's a pretty good chance that high-priced lawyer, he or she would have the magical letters after their name too, and they're getting it for services to the law at the same time as charging $3,000 an hour to appear before court on behalf of their clients. So it's a sort of a weird dichotomy that exists with our honours system, and I reckon it's probably no different where you are. We just have this problem where we always seem to kind of be drawn into celebrity culture, which is sort of weird because that's exactly what they shouldn't be about.
Well, you're Australian of the Year on Australia Day has been chosen, and it was Taryn Brumfitt, a woman, a South Australian influencer, who on the subject of body positivity.
Yeah, good thing this. She's a documentary maker, a genuine, I'll call her unsung hero on this front, an unpopular topic that she decided to go and tackle and make films about, to the point where she kind of gave young boys and girls, mostly girls because it seems to be where it's most problematic, but you know, it's a boy problem too. I have three boys, and I know there's kids in his class, in the Els class, that are already talking about how they look and what they'd like to change on their body. It's sick that it happens, but it does. And she's really tackled this on and kind of normalised normality, and it's tremendous. And you know, she is I think she'll be a real powerful force this year. The Australians of the Year always find themselves being dragged off their topic of expertise, because that's what the media kind of wants to do and poke around and what do you think about this issue, this issue, this issue, before you know they've found something controversial. I imagine she will be. She's a pretty sharp media player, this one, so she will figure out, I would think, how to make sure that she keeps on message and talks about what she's really committed to. There's another fellow who I know quite well. His name is Amir, and he runs an organisation called Turbans for Australia. And as it would suggest, he's from the Sikh group in Australia, and they have set themselves up almost as an emergency action group wherever there's a natural disaster. These blokes, mostly men, but there are women involved in them, of course, just deploy to wherever. To go and provide food kitchens for flood victims, and because we've had plenty of that this year, bushfires as well. And he's been doing that. He's been called the local hero. as an Aboriginal man, you've got to excuse me, I haven't got all the names in front of me as I'm talking to you, but he was one of the people actually that's come up with part of the proposed suggestion for this voice vote later sometime in the year. And as I looked at what he talked about, it seems a little different to what even the politicians are talking about. So I imagine he might be a little frustrated with what's going on as well too. But he's been voted one of the Australians of the Year in another category. And, you know, always some great stories like that. I love this day for that. And I always wish we could knock out the celebrity part of it, because I don't think we need to be awarding cricket stars and football players and things like that. But, you know, we already give out enough knighthoods to people who play ball games. I think we should be celebrating these incredible people that, you know, contribute to this multi-billion dollar industry where no money changes hands, and that's volunteerism. And in Australia, it's one of the things we are tremendous at, that whenever there's a flood response, a fire response, all the people out there fighting the fires and sandbagging are volunteers. And that's what we do, and that's what we do great here. And, you know, we've been talking about this day, and it's feature to Australians. That's what I hope is not lost if they decide to change the date or move it or do anything with it, is that it continues to be a celebration of the greatness of the country.
Oh, good one, Jason. Oh, well, thank you very much. A happy Australia Day. I'm not sure if that's what you say, but thanks for joining us tonight.
Good on you. You too. Thank you. I appreciate you saying so, because it is a weird one. Yeah, it is a mildly happy Australia Day for a lot of people, and for me it has been. So thank you so much.
Cheers. Australian correspondent Jason Morrison.